All right, take your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I didn't mention I was going to about Michaela and Jeffrey's getting married January 5th. Let me see, what time is it? 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Heritage Baptist Church. The reception will be here, and so if you're available at that time, it won't be a blessing. We got a letter from a lady, or if you want to be a blessing, attend the wedding. Amen is what I was going to say. We got a letter from a lady in Lucindale, Mississippi, and who said she read a tract that we printed and got saved, and we're thankful for that. Her name is Life Moon. If she had just put that on there, I'd have been a little suspicious with no address, but she thankful for that. I'm going to try to find a preacher in that area to go by and visit with her. And I didn't mention about the college ministry, but continue to pray. Thank God for what we've been able to see there. And the boys and the girls have headed home for the holidays. And but on the 5th of January, has nothing to do in competition with Jeffrey's wedding. He'll be married and they'll be happily ever after. By then, we're going to be serving the kids again up at the college, and so as time gets closer, we'll talk about that. But continue to pray for the college kids, amen. Want to see them saved and come to know the Lord, and thank the Lord for the opportunities that God has given us already. And so continue to pray about that. All right, I want to read the verses here, and as I read them, remember we've been preaching since Thanksgiving on who Jesus is, and we looked at Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door. He's the only way to heaven. It's the only way. We looked in John chapter 6 that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. The only life you have is in Jesus Christ. Then last week we looked at Jesus the good shepherd, and I'm glad today he's the good shepherd. Amen? Amen? The good shepherd. Just not a shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. And today, with the Lord's help, I want us to look at Jesus, the true vine. And as I was preparing and thinking about all these messages, this was probably one of the verses or one of the passages of scriptures I came to, and I wasn't for sure how it would apply in this case as Jesus, who he is, and trying to get us in the spirit of Christmas, knowing that Jesus is soon to celebrate his coming here. But the Lord showed me some things, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Now, in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. All right, he's the one that watches over everything that takes place in the vineyard. Every branch, now there's some key words you need to listen to. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Now that word abide is very, very important. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now we're going to stop there and take these verses, and I want to do my best to tell you who Jesus is today. As a Christian, you need to know who Jesus is. Amen. As an unbeliever, you might need to know who Jesus is for sure. You know, back a few weeks ago, as I was thinking about the Christmas season, and so often our Christmas season is filled with messages out of the book of Luke or Matthew, and nothing wrong with that at all. But sometimes we get so familiar or so accustomed to that we come here thinking, I've heard that story. I was listening to a commentary on the song we sang, the last song, Silent Night. And Silent Night is a 200-year-old song and still as popular today as it was whenever it was written. But sometimes we get familiar, and so we want something new and something fresh. And so because of familiarity, we miss out on the great truths. And what we're trying to do in preaching is try to declare who Jesus is. Amen. And nobody can declare who Jesus is better than Jesus himself. And so he begins in John's gospel, and John portrays Jesus as he is, the Son of God, and Jesus begins to use comparisons to tell people or to show people who he is. And as we talked about the door, the bread of life, the good shepherd, and then today I want us to look at the true vine. Now, there are many in this world today that are seeking help, seeking supply of life and hope of life. I wrote down some things. We have people who seek all these kinds of life helps through yoga, which I'm against, as you can very well would believe that. Amen. Self-help books, transmeditation, and all other kinds of spiritisms. And so we try to find, if you listen to very much preaching on TV, the popular message is that you are a good person and that down deep inside of you is a better you, and you just need to get down deep inside of you and pull out that better you and be that better person that you can be. The problem is, God says that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So no matter how deep you get, you can't find a good thing inside of you. And so we have all these misconceptions about this. And what we want to look at today is, where is real life at? Where do you get the best of life at? And Jesus says, I am the true vine. There is no sweeter vine than Jesus Christ. There is no one who can satisfy your desires and your person, your personal interests than Jesus Christ. There is nothing more nourishing, nothing more fulfilling than abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. The object of this passage is understood to be fruit bearing, to learn to bear fruit, to be in Christ, and learn to experience all the fullness that comes from being in Jesus Christ. In Matthew, we won't turn there, but in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 18 through 20, Jesus, on the second day coming into Jerusalem, he was hungry. The Bible says he saw a fig tree, and it wasn't the time of figs, but this fig tree had leaves. And so Jesus, being hungered, went over to this fig tree. If it had leaves, it would indicate that it had fruit. And so he went over to this fig tree to get figs, and not the ones Keebler makes, by the way. Amen. But regular figs to get and eat. And the Bible says he went over there and he saw nothing but leaves. Let me tell you this. There's a lot of Christians who have nothing but leaves throughout their whole life. You look at them or you listen to them and you'll think that them and God are best friends, but they never have any fruit. And Jesus cursed that fig tree. And he said this, not only do you not have figs today, but you will never bear fruit. And the Bible says instantly that fig tree began to wither away. Now, I want to give us some warnings or maybe some exhortations before we get into this importance of abiding in Christ. First of all, I want us to understand this, that every Christian, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, every Christian is expected to bear fruit. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. So we understand that God has a purpose for your Christian life, and that is for you, if you are a Christian today, for you to bear fruit. There are no excuses. There are no exceptions to this rule. You as a believer are to bear fruit. You are not to just be a shade tree. You are to be a life supply to other people. Number two, every Christian has the same potential to bear fruit. I've heard people say, well, you know what, Brother Tim, if I was as lucky as them people to, you know, had what they had and had their talents and this, that, and the other, you know, if I was blessed like them. Now, let me tell you what. You are blessed with a potential of bearing fruit. You have as much potential to have the fruit of the Spirit and to bear the fruit of souls as anyone else does. There is no excuse and no cause for anybody who has been saved any length of time not to have fruit in their life. So let's not make excuses, amen? The second third exhortation or warning is this. Fruit bearing is conditioned on my relationship to Jesus Christ. It is not conditioned on how well the preacher preaches. It is not conditioned on how well my home is. It is not conditioned on how the church is. My fruit bearing is determined by my personal walk with Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people say, well, and I know it's the craze of the day, and maybe it's always been this way, I don't know. But we have people who have been saved by the grace of God, and all of a sudden they say something like this. Well, I've gone to church, but I've just quit growing at that church. So I'm going to go over here. I got that itching ear syndrome. Problem is, they still have an empty belly. I have an itching ear syndrome, and I just don't feel like, I just don't feel like Brother Tim or whoever it might be is feeding me. Well, let me tell you, there's really nothing that I can do about that. Because your fruit-bearing condition is conditioned on your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, all the blessings of the Christian life depends upon your abiding in Christ. Every one of them. There is not one person in this room today that is an exception to this rule. God does not look at you and think, well, poor old circumstances, oh, so-and-so was born into, and so I'll make an exception to him, and I'll let him have all the blessings without abiding in me. No. Mm-mm. Number five, abiding in Christ is a personal choice of every believer. Abiding in Christ is a personal choice of every believer. You cannot blame or excuse your abiding or not abiding on anybody else but you. You can abide in the best of circumstances or in the worst of circumstances. Your abiding in Christ depends solely upon you. Now, the vine is the most important part of what we're talking about. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked up vines because I wanted to see how long, and I know most of you probably know more about this than I do, but I didn't know how long a grapevine could actually live. But I did find out this, that in one part of Europe, there is a grapevine that is over 500 years old, and it still produces about 15 gallons of grape juice every year. A grapevine. Now, if you think about a vine, you think, you know, we think of a temporary plant, something we plant in the spring, produces, and then it dies in the fall. But a vine is something that lives and goes on and on and on. And so Jesus Christ takes this, what they would be accustomed to, growing grapes in this region, and he said, I am the true vine. And instantly their mind would be able to comprehend what Jesus is saying, and so can ours. Now, first of all, let me start here by saying this. When you were born into this world, you were born into a wild vine. Let's use this little plan here that we're going to give away tonight as a example. It's not a vine, but use your imagination. Okay? So this you were born into this group. Okay? You were born into a wild vine. You were born into a family that was sin-cursed, lost, and hopeless. This is where you were born in. By the way, all of us were born into this vine. All of us were. Whenever you got saved, God took you out. He cut you out of this one. And He grafted you into this one. He put you into this one. Now here's an interesting verse. The Bible says this, "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is holy also. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness or the richness of the olive tree." And so this root feeds this tree. We understand that. This tree is sustained by roots. Right? Y'all know that? Okay. All right. Everything that root gets feeds to this tree. Well, I was born into a tree family that was sin cursed. And so everything that was in me was sin cursed. Whenever I came over here into this tree, whenever I got born again, this tree's roots is holy. And everything that feeds into me out of this tree is holy. I just read that out of Romans chapter 11. And so the Bible says the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. So God took me a wild branch, and put me into this family, into this tree. And today, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you are in that tree. You are doomed to death because that's what that root produces. If you will trust Christ today as your Savior, you can be saved and placed into this tree. And out of this tree, you are nourished with everlasting life. Now the Bible tells us that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So what does it mean whenever we talk about this? Okay, so let me quickly say this. All right, so over here, as long as I'm connected to this tree, I am getting the source of these roots. I am getting all the nourishment that I need to be productive in the Christian life. So what if I take this leaf or this branch and I cut it off of here and I put it over here by itself? Well, we know in time what's going to happen. The source of life is I'm cut off from that. And it's foolish for me to blame the source of life whenever I have disconnected the branch from the source of life. And it's foolish for you and I to blame God or to blame any other person when we have disconnected ourselves from the branch. I say it's foolish for us to blame anybody when we have disconnected ourselves from Jesus Christ. All right? So what does it mean to abide? So the Bible says, as long as you abide in me. What does that mean? As long as this branch abides in this stem, in this vine, it's got all the potential that it needs to be a fruit-bearing vine. It can have fruit. So what does it mean to abide in Christ? Number one, it means you read your Bible. You cannot abide in Christ without daily reading your Bible. If ye abide in me and my word abides in you. Prayer. Daily in secret prayer with God. Daily in secret prayer with God. And number three, walking in the Spirit. We have too many Christians that are trying to separate from the vine and be their own little thing over here, and they're artificial. Now this will stay green until Jesus comes. Because it's been painted that way. You disconnect a branch from something like this, and it'll stay as green as ever because it's lifeless. But you could disconnect from that one, and you disconnect from Christ, Christian, and you will wither away. All right, so you say, well, preacher, what's this got to do with who Jesus is? Well, I'm trying to get to that, and I'm here right now. Jesus is the true vine. So what do you get? What do you get whenever you abide in Christ? The word means continue. And here's the illustration that I read that I thought was as good. If I put one of those boys in the room and I said, remain or abide or stay in that room, and they stayed in that room, that's what it meant. It means they just stay in that room. And they don't come out, they don't move. Stay where you're at. Now here's our problem. We get to, it's like the children of Israel. Whenever I was reading, and they said, God was blessing them and feeding them with the bread of heaven. And they said, all we get is this manna. I'll tell you, the church of America has adopted the philosophy of America, and we whine and cry about the blessings of God. Well, I want something new. I'm tired of this old bread. How could you be tired of bread from heaven? Amen? And God heard him and he said, I'll tell you what. You're tired of my bread? I'll make you sorry you asked for anything else. And so God gave them something else. But boy, they were sure sorry about it after a while. He said, I'll give you so much that it will come out your nostrils while you're eating it. You'll vomit it up. Now that's gross, amen? Well, I ain't even going to tell you that story, but it was gross. And I have a weak stomach, so we better not go there. So I'm going to give you four things that are a blessing from abiding in Christ. And if you're a Christian and you have taken yourself away from the vine, now I'm talking about away from Christ, away from the church, away from the Word, away from the fellowship, away from all the things that God wants to grow you. If you have just taken yourself and placed yourself and say, well, I'm just going to be over here, then you are a withered, dried up Christian. And I'm here to tell you that if there isn't evidence of fruit in your life, then there's problems. So number one, what is the blessing? What is the blessing of abiding in Christ? And hopefully today I can get this across. Number one is you are a fruit-bearing Christian. Look at verse number 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. A fruit-bearing Christian. We don't have time to turn here now, but in 2 Peter 1:8, the Lord lists us several things there in verse 5, 6, and 7. And he says this in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God wants you to grow and to be fruitful. You say, well, I don't know what fruit is in the Christian life. Well, I'm getting ready to give it to you. Maybe I ought to read some of these because I won't get them all. Let me read them to you. Now, you probably have these down pat, and you probably don't need any of these working in your life. But every once in a while, I get a little cross in things. Amen? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read out of Galatians chapter 5 some fruit that you ought to have as a believer. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me ask you this, believer, today. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life today? Now, I know we'd say, oh, we love. How about loving your enemies? Now, if you want to test if you've got the fruit of the Spirit, you just find somebody who's your enemy and see how much you love them. And if you don't love your enemies, then can I just tell you this? You haven't perfected the fruit of the Spirit yet. It's easy for me to love people that love me back, that have similarities to me. But you have somebody do you wrong and you love them, that takes the grace of God. We like, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith whoever I am. But God doesn't act like that, does he? God says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a little rougher. Then let me ask you this. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. When was the last time that you witnessed? I mean, if Jesus said this in the Bible, and he did, he said, if ye abide in me and I in you, ye shall bear much fruit. When was the last time you had a witness to somebody that wasn't saved? I tell you, I've been telling the church so many times about Psalm chapter 2, verse number 8. Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Well, I've never been to the uttermost part of the earth. I've been to different places and I've enjoyed going, but I don't know that I've been to the uttermost part. But how can you get there? And second thing is, how can I as a Christian go to the uttermost part of the earth and still be here doing what God's called me to do? Well, we do it through missions and such like, but surely in our day and age, there's got to be an easier way to get to the uttermost part of the earth. I've been witnessing few years ago, or maybe it was last year, I really got under a burden to try to win these truckers to Christ. And I see them up here at the truck stops, and so I started witnessing to them. You know, I've been all over the world and never left Moberly. 2 weeks ago, I went to Ethiopia. There was a fellow there, and I beat on, well, his truck there, and I just went up there, and he rolled down, and got to talking to him a little bit, and he was darker skinned, so I knew he wasn't from Europe, much of an area. And I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Ethiopia. I said, oh, is it cold there? No. He said, I'm freezing to death. I said, I'm with you, brother. Amen. And so yesterday I was out, and I went up to a guy, and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, where are you from? He goes, Russia. Well, I had never been to Russia, but I've been to Russia. I'm just telling you, I don't know about you today, ladies and gentlemen, but God commands us to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of souls. And J. Oswald Smith said this, if you don't witness, you are not filled with the Spirit. So is there any fruit in your life today? Is there any evidence that you got any fruit in your heart today? Second thing that is evidenced in abiding in Christ. And by the way, those fruits are things that we will give to God and be rewarded for when we get to heaven. And I don't want to get to God and just be a stick. Amen? I don't want to get up there and God look around and say, what'd you do? I've been saved 36 years. There ought to be some fruit in my life. Been preaching on that on Sunday night out of James chapter 2. There ought to be some fruit in my life. And by the way, there ought to be some fruit in your life if you're a Christian. Second thing is this. Look at John chapter 15 and verse number 7. The blessing of abiding in Christ and being in that vine is this. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There is unlimited prayer to be answered if you abide in Christ. Now I know people's instantly going to say, well, preacher, I've prayed and not had an answer. Well, don't blame God. Maybe you haven't been abiding. Maybe you haven't been in tune with the vine as you ought to. Because Jesus said, if ye abide in me, in the word, in prayer, in walking in the Spirit, and I abide in you. He said, you just ask whatever you want and I'll do it. You say, well, there's got to be conditions. There are. You abide in me, and I abide in you. You ask whatever, and I'll do it. Now, here's the problem. We oftentimes want to pray. We oftentimes want to pray being disconnected from the vine. We've separated ourselves and we've sat over here on the shelf or on the pew or wherever we are, and there's the vine, and the preacher's talked about prayers that's been answered. And by the way, let me tell you, church, God has answered some prayers that have been beyond what we could have imagined. I talked to you about having greater faith, and I took you to a building and showed it to you. A guy wanted over $500,000 for, and I told him right up front, and this guy's a millionaire, could give us that building and never even miss it out of his pocket. And I looked at him, a 39-year-old multimillionaire, and told him, I said, unless you're going to give me this building, and instantly he said, I can't do that. And I said, well, I don't have any money. And I said, but I believe God has given us this building. And so he haggled around there for a little bit, and I asked you to pray. And I had people, and I know good people in our church, said, preacher, I know if God does something, this will work, but we can't do it. And I told you right up front, before I ever told you what God was leading us to do, that we didn't have the money to do it. I told everybody that, didn't I? So I didn't pretense that we was going to go out and borrow money and do this. No, I want great faith. And little did any of us know that just within 3 or 4 weeks after us praying about that as a church, we went up and looked at the building. I asked you to pray about it. And 3 or 4 or 5 weeks later, whatever it was, the guy calls and says, you know, I've been thinking, I'll just give you the building for 6 months for free. Wanted to charge us at least $4,000 a month rent. So he gave us $24,000. I'll just give you the building for free if you'll mow the grass, push the snow, pay the power bill that you use. Well, I thought, praise God. Man, I was blessed. Amen. I was amazed. Now, let me tell you this. I wasn't surprised at what God did. I was surprised in the way he did it, but not that he did it. Why? Because I've been praying. And I've been abiding in Christ. And Christ's been abiding in me. And so I know that it's going to work. Some say, well, what are we going to do after June? Don't know. Don't know. I'm just excited about what's going on now. I'm excited we saw some men up there painting and some folks up there working. I'm excited about the church down in Centralia, and what God's going to do there. I tell you, I was rejoicing, and God said, you have reached your destination. And right there's an empty building for rent. And right there is where we will host the Greater Faith Baptist Church of Centralia in just on the 1st of January and every Tuesday after. You know why God done some of those things? Because we pray. There's some other things I've been praying about. We're in that college ministry not because I'm such a good delegator and such a good ambassador. We're there because I prayed. And I've asked you to pray. And those girls and those boys, little do they know that they are under the scope of God. And God's got him in his sight. Why? Because we prayed. And I've been praying for some church members, those that are backslid in heart. I've been praying, God, draw them. I've been praying for lost people to get saved. I began to pray for some of these old men that are in their 60s and older. Today's Brother Charlie's birthday. He's 60 years old today. I was going to give him a black balloon and paint a skull on it, amen, but I forgot. And little did I know, and I mentioned this last Sunday night, and I meant it then and I meant it now. Brother Terry, Terry right here, whatever his last name is, got saved here just about a year ago. Back in February of this year, he got saved. And I tell you, I had talked to him many times, and I'm rejoicing. And he came to church carrying his Bible last Sunday night. And I rejoiced and I praised God because God answered prayer. He's not here because of his own will, but by the grace of God. Say, well, preacher, I've been praying and ain't been nothing happening. Well, you abiding? Doing any abiding? Have you disconnected? Now listen. There's a whole lot of hocus pocus stuff going on here in this world that they're attributing to prayer, but that's not prayer because it's not according to the will of God. Number three, you're filled with the love of God. Look at verse number 9 and 10. The Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. As I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, and abide in his love. You know, one of the blessings of being in the vine of Jesus is he nourishes you from the roots of his love, and all of a sudden you start loving. I believe one of the greatest tragedies that's happened to the modern day church is we have failed to be a 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love. And we are nothing, and we're doing nothing, and we're profiting nothing, and we're nothing but a bunch of noise to the world. Because we don't have genuine love. I was talking to you about the college ministry. You know, we've invested a lot of food and stuff in those kids, but you know what they've responded to? Just love. That's it. I was blessed the other day. I got a letter. Miss Charlotte, I'm not trying to take your blessings, but one of the coaches texts me, and they always text me when we do something, and they say, Brother Tim, thank you so much for being such a blessing. The girls really like the cupcakes or cakes or cocoa or whatever it was you took to them. And boy, thank you for just being so good and kind and all these other things. And I thought, I don't remember doing any of that, but I know somebody did. So I thought, well, 2 and 2, and I asked Miss Charlotte first. She said, yeah, and it was such a blessing. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? All the things that we've done for those college kids, all that we've done for them. You say, well, we ain't seen any of them saved. We ain't getting nothing out of them. Probably won't get nothing out of them. We're not doing it to get anything out of them. We're doing it for the love of God and for the love of their soul. But boy, I tell you what, whenever they text you, Brother Charlie and I got in a deal. One of them had a flat tire the other day, and of all the people, I was blessed. Hey, Pastor, how are you? And I thought, boy, this is strange. And I said, well, I'm doing well. They said, we got a flat tire. Can you help us? Now, that's the kind of stuff I want. I want them to know. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that maybe a year ago I wouldn't have had that kind of a spirit in my heart. Boy, God has, I've been praying. I told the church a few Sunday nights ago, a couple months ago, I want our church to be known as a church that has a genuine love for people. I mean, my goodness sakes. Some of these kids we got coming to Awana, and they're in such horrible situations, and they need somebody just to love them. They don't need somebody to make an excuse for them. They don't need somebody to think that they're poor and all this other stuff just because society says that. No, they need somebody to love them. I'm excited about moving to town and maybe reaching out to more people and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you what, I'll never do that if I don't abide in Christ. Let me tell you, everybody in here is very self-centered, and it takes the love of God to help you to love other people. You say, preacher, there are just some people I can't love. You're full of baloney. The Bible says the love of Christ has been shed abroad in your heart. And if his love has been shed abroad in your heart, then you can love other people. The last one, I want to get done here before the Methodists beat us to McDonald's or wherever they go these days. Amen. Look at verse number 11. This is the, listen, I'm talking about the blessings of abiding in Christ. The blessings is you bear fruit. The blessing is that you have your prayers answered. The blessing is that you have a great love for God and for people. And the last one is, verse number 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You can, you know, we sing Holly Jolly Christmas. Well, what about come about January 15th? How about April 15th? You got any Holly Jollies then? Huh? You know, the Christian ought to be full of joy. You know why some Christians sit in church? I I remember Brother Flowers one time saying, he was preaching a missions conference or an outreach conference or something, and he said this, and he says, first of all, not everybody should tell that they go to church here. And the pastor jumped up, oh, Pastor, Brother Flowers, don't say that. Don't. I'm trying to get it. He said, I hope there's some people that never find out they go to our church. Come to our church, you can be as crabby as I am. Well, preacher, not everybody just has to smile all the time. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I got a verse. I just found one somewhere in the Bible. I didn't even make it up. A merry heart. Huh. I think maybe that might mean joyful. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Have you ever paid attention to people? Maybe I like watching people when they drive, and I'm not a... Usually that causes me to swerve all over the place, but you know, that's all right. And but I like watching people when they're driving and how serious they are. You know, people are just, man, this world is filled with such sorrows and such burdens. And you know, the church today ought to have a joyful countenance. But ought to have a joyful countenance because we got something to be joyful about. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. You know, today, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, I mean, people ought to be able to recognize I'm a Christian by the joy I have. David said this, he said, he took me out of the miry clay, lifted me up out of the miry clay, set my feet on the solid rock, established my goings, and put a song in my mouth of praise to my God. I mean, church day ought to have some joy in them. I mean, if you're saved today, you ought to at least smile. And I tell you what, I'm thankful for all the kids we got in our church. Amen. You want to test an old person's joy, see if they're right with God? Just let little kids get around them. Amen. Stop running! Sit down! I'm going to kill you! Now, I know you're not supposed to say those kinds of words because it's all offensive for some reason. I don't know, but, you know. You know, I never had a problem with that until I am getting older. And all of a sudden, noise bothers me. Braden and Riley were downstairs yesterday and helping us decorate. Well, they wasn't doing no decorating. They just running around, and they was over there playing the piano, and they don't know how to play a lick. And you know, all it was noise. And after a while, it got to the best of me. I said, quit playing the piano! Good gravy! So Yvette gets all in a huff and takes them and she plays or something. I don't know. Isn't it amazing how our joy is not seen? Let me read you a verse. This is pretty interesting. In the book of Joel, the Bible says, the vine is dried up. The fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. That means you're barren as a Christian. Here's why. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. You want to know why we're barren today so much in our Christian life? Because we don't have the joy of Jesus flowing in us. We've disconnected. And all we think about is me. Me, 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 me. Just about me. Poor old me. Poor old me. We won't do anything exciting for God because there's no joy. I'm not going to go to church and sing. Well, I'm not going to witness. I'm not going to do that. No joy. Well, I tell you what, I spend enough time here. If I didn't have joy here, I wouldn't have joy anywhere. Today, if you're a Christian and you've been disconnected from the vine, you are fruitless and you are prayerless and you are loveless and you are joyless. And if you'll get back into the vine and start abiding, it won't be long before the sweetness of Jesus will just overtake you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the true vine. Now, Lord, there's a lot of vines out here in this world trying to get the believer to connect with them. And they're trying to offer everything that's real. But God, when it's all come and it's all done, it's just leaves. There's nothing real there. That's what all these religions are doing today. They're trying to offer something new when what we need is simply to abide in Christ. Father, I pray today if there's someone here that's a wild branch who's never been saved, that they'd come to Christ this morning. If there's someone here, Lord, who is a born-again believer, but they've disconnected from the vine, Lord, I pray today they'll connect back up and let the sweetness of Jesus flow through them again. And I pray, Lord, that all of us, God, will be everything that you want us to be, fruit-bearing, praying. God, that all of us will be full of the love of God and the joy of Jesus. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. Miss Rachel's going to play the hymn of invitation. Hymn of invitation is time to make decisions for the Lord. If God's dealt with your heart about something. Boy, I'm grateful to God. I can testify of some of the things. I'm not bragging about me. I'm telling you some things that God has done in our midst. And boy, we are to be thankful. Amen. Today, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're over here in this tree. And this tree produces, these roots produce death. And that's where you'll be one day. You'll die. If you'll come out of this tree by faith and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be engrafted into this tree. This tree's roots brings forth eternal life to all who come. And if you've been over here and you say, boy, preacher, I've been in the vine, but my life's kind of dry, kind of withered. Well, just get back into the sweetness of Christ. Get back into that joy of love and the love of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God. Boy, it won't be long before the sap of His love will start just flowing through you. You'll see new growth. Man, we're entered into that time when winter is come on and things have died. But you know what? It won't be but a few more months unknown to us. That sap will start moving up in those trees. We won't see that sap moving long about, sometime around March or April or something. There'll be little green buds. And that'll be the evidence that the sap had been moving. And they're going to start blooming and leaves and fruit and the joy of spring and summer. Folks, today God wants us to be fruitful Christians. God wants us to have our prayers answered. God wants us to have a love for people. God wants us to walk around with the joy of Jesus in our heart. Say, well, preacher, I tell you, I've experienced some bad times. Well, you can experience some bad times and still have the joy of Jesus in your heart.